Chapter 26. I opened my eyes a while later and saw Susan standing in the living room, her eyes closed. She was crouched, her hands held before her as if grasping an invisible basketball. As I watched, she moved, arms and legs gliding through gentle, circular motions. Tai Chi. It was a meditative form of exercise that had originally come from martial arts. Lots of people who practiced Tai Chi didn't realize that the movements they followed were beautiful, slow-motion renditions of bone-breaking throws and joint locks. I had a feeling Susan knew. She wore her t-shirt and a pair of my running shorts. She moved with the graceful simplicity of a natural talent honed by training. A turn showed me her face, her expression set in peaceful concentration. I spent a minute watching her in silence, cataloging my own aches and pains. She suddenly smiled without opening her eyes and said, "Don't start drooling, Harry." "My house, I can drool as much as I want." "What was that rope you used?" she asked, still going through her routine. "I've broken handcuffs before. Magic?" Shop talk. I had hoped for some other kind of discussion, or maybe I'd been nervous about it. Work talk held a certain appeal for me, too. It was safe. "Fairy make," I said, "has hair from a unicorn's mane woven through it." "Really?" I shrugged. "That's what Fix said. I imagine he knows. Would be handy to have around if the Denarian showed up again, don't you think?" "Not unless they came here," I told her. "It's set to this place. Take it out of here and it wouldn't work."
"Why not?"
"Because I'm not that good yet," I said. "It's easy to make something that works at home. Takes a lot more know-how than I have to take an enchantment on the road." I got out of bed and got moving. The clock said that it wasn't yet 10 in the morning. I hopped in and out of the shower, dressed, slapped a comb through my hair, and decided that the rakish, unshaven look was in. By the time I got back out into the living room, Susan was dressed in the leather pants again, and only 4 or 5 candles were still lit. The defensive barriers were winding down. "What happened after Martin took off from the hotel?" I asked. Susan slouched into a chair.
"I tried to get him to stop. He wouldn't. We fought about it, and he put a gun in my face."
I choked. "He what?"
"To be fair, I wasn't being very rational."
Hell's bells.
"Martin didn't want to, but I convinced him to go to Michael's place. I figured if anyone could get you out of a mess with the Denarians, it would be him."
"Seems reasonable to me," I said. I debated between coffee and cola. The Coke won by virtue of convenience. Susan nodded at me before I could get the question out of my mouth, and I got her one too.
"What about Anna Valmont?" "She was in shock. Charity put her to bed."
"Did you call the police?" Susan shook her head.
"I thought she might have known something that would help. We wouldn't be able to find out what it was if she was angry and locked away."
"What did Michael have to say about it?"
"He wasn't there," Susan said. "Shiro was. Charity said that Michael and someone named Sonia hadn't come back from St. Louis and hadn't called."
I frowned and passed over the second can to her. "That doesn't sound like him."
"I know. They were worried," she frowned. "Or Charity was. I don't think Shiro was worried at all. It was almost as though he'd been expecting all of it. He was still dressed in the samurai clothes, and he opened the front door before I could knock."
"Michael's done that kind of thing before. Fringe benefit of his job, maybe." Susan shook her head.
"God works in mysterious ways?"
I shrugged.
"Maybe so. Did Shiro say anything?"
"He just told Martin where to turn left or right and where to park. Then he told me to give him 2 minutes lead and to get ready to get you back to the car. He just smiled a little, the whole time. It would have been a little spooky on anyone else. He seemed content. Maybe he just had a good poker face."
I toyed with my can. He has a good poker face."
Susan arched an eyebrow.
"I don't understand."
"I don't think he's dead. Not yet. He agreed to give himself over to the Denarians in exchange for them letting me go. The head Denarian guy, said his name was Nicodemus, made Shiro promise not to fight back or escape for 24 hours.
"That doesn't sound good."
I shivered. "Yeah, I figure they're arch enemies.
When Shiro offered himself, Nicodemus looked like a kid on Christmas morning. Susan sipped at a drink. How bad are these people? I thought of Nicodemus and his knife, of the sheer helplessness I'd felt as he drew my head back, baring my throat. I thought of sliced and diced corpses. Bad.